Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
It's now time for a chat with Colin from the White Aviation Museum. Thanks for coming on the show.
Pleased to be here.
Right, let's get stuck in, shall we? We've got quite a bit to cover.
Okie dokie.
Right, so can you tell us where the White Aviation Museum is located on the island, please?
If you come down to Sandown and come down to Sandown Airport, down, I think they call the road Scotchell's Lane, you'll find the airport down there and you'll see the signs for the museum just there.
Isn't there a great big rocket or something in as you come round off the road?
If you come off the little road that comes off the main road, you can't help but see a rocket. It usually during the summer season it stands, but at the moment it's laid down due to weather.
Oh yeah, obviously it's quite a big piece of equipment, isn't it? If it was to fall over, it would cause quite a bit of damage.
It's about 30 or 40 foot tall.
So. What actually is it? I know it's a rocket, but what actually is it? Do you know?
It was called the Black Arrow rocket. It was the only one out of the Black Arrow series of rockets that managed to put a satellite into space.
Is that the
Prospero?
That's the one that was, they tested them out the needle's battery, is it?
This is where some people get it wrong. We never actually fired rockets from the Isle of Wight.
But we tested them.
The engines.
Yeah.
The rockets were then built and taken out to Woomera in Australia and then fired from Woomera.
Ah, see, now there you go.
And the only one that went up, which is the Black Arrow 3, as I say, did manage to put a satellite into space.
It's a telecommunications satellite of some description.
Called Prospero.
And it still works, doesn't it?
It does in a way. It's still floating about up there.
It sends out like a beep or a signal.
Very, very faint beep. It's due to come back to Earth, supposedly, in 2070. But, you know, it's fading because it's now getting on in years.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have got one of the things we have got at the museum is like a little TV screen that will show you exactly where Prospero is in orbit at the moment. And also one of the pieces of the rocket that went up that is still floating about.
Oh, wow.
And it tells you exactly where it is right at that moment that you look at it.
That is really impressive. I'm sorry, I'm nerding out now. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So what are the opening hours of the museum?
It's open it will be open this coming Saturday, I think it's the 16th, and it will be 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. We have plans later in the year that it will be open Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday at the same times, 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. The Friday, Saturdays and Sundays will generally be a normal day for the public to come and have a look. The Mondays and Tuesdays, we do make a slight difference. Those are what we class as working days.
Right, okay.
Where if anybody does come and visit, they're welcome to visit, but they'll have to realise that there'll be some of our staff probably doing some painting and
going on in the background.
Yeah.
Because am I right in saying that you're rebuilding a Spitfire over there, aren't you?
No. If only.
I'm sure I read somewhere that Sandown Airport or something was rebuilding a...
If you go over the other side of Sandown Airport, far end, there is a company called Airframe Assemblies, and they rebuild Spitfires, Hurricanes, you name it, they rebuild it. Run by a guy from the mainland, Steve Izzard. They rebuilt lots and lots of Spitfires. Not all of them are airworthy. Some of them they just built to static...
So
they can just show them in the museum.
A display piece, as it were.
But you would never see one of them take off from Sandown Airport. They're generally brought in by bits on a lorry, and then taken away, partly completed, and then put together properly somewhere else.
All right, I misunderstood. I do apologise for
I wish we had the facilities to do that.
It's like dream project.
Yeah, we'd love to have... A Spitfire or a Hurricane, a static one stacked outside on show, but I think, to be honest, with the way finances are, it would be sort of like a replica one.
But something like that is going to cost a lot of money.
A glass fibre one we've been quoted would be £65,000 upwards.
Ooh.
And you know, you've got to shake a lot of money, get
65 grand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right, so you went on a voluntary base
Yeah.
If people do want to get involved with the museum, how do they go about doing that?
I would suggest that they take a look at our website or website and or the Facebook pages that we have, and you'll find details on there with an email address, and you'll also find a phone number that you can contact.
If you want to give out those email addresses or the phone numbers, that's absolutely fine.
Bear with me a second. I've just got to find my paperwork.
Digs through his notes, not a problem. I've caught you off guard, sorry.
Right, email. It would be whiteaviationmuseum@gmail.com.
Right.
The phone number would be 07949 704052. If you do phone that number, 9 times out of 10, you'll find it in my dulcet tones on the end of the phone.
Okay.
I'm in charge of the phone.
That's nothing wrong with that. So if people want to get hold of you and get into contact with you about volunteering, that's the email to contact, and that's the telephone.
The email, give them whatever details you want to do on the email. If you contact directly, talk to me, I will take your details, pass it on to the other people in the museum, and then we take it from there.
Okay, that's cool. Fair enough. Right, so we've already kind of covered this, but we'll batten down the hatches, as it were. Does the White Air Aviation Museum have a website, and can it be found on social media?
Yes. We do have that website, and we also do, as we say, we've got at least two pages on Facebook.
So if you go to Facebook and then type in White Aviation Museum,
it will probably come up with two different.
And there's lots of information, like opening hours and all the relevant information on those.
That
social
is correct.
Media. Yep. Right, cool. Josh, have you got any questions you'd like to ask?
How many people visit the Aviation Museum?
Well, last season we think, with our working out a few bits and pieces, we think it was around about 4,000, 5,000 people.
That's pretty impressive.
For a
small little aviation museum no offence, but lots of people might not know where you are, because the site is tucked away, isn't it?
It is tucked away. We've got plans to sort out a bit more of the signage, but we've also got leaflets that we give out and posters that we put out.
Pamphlets and brochures.
Pamphlets and brochures. And a lot of the time, a lot of the visitors that we do have actually take away leaflets from us to take to places where they live, so that they can dish them out to other people. And they say, when you go down to the Isle of Wight,
check this out.
Check it out, you know.
All right.
When the airfield, and this is sort of like a side thing, the airfield does have certain events going on during the year, and we find that quite a lot of the people from these events will pop in, and especially if it's pilots, they'll take away, as I say, a handful of leaflets to take to whatever airfield they've come from, and then it gets amongst the aviation community, and so on. So it snowballs, as it were. Yeah.
Okay then, so what other attractions do you have at the Aviation Museum?
Right, we have a lot of displays of various stories about the Isle of Wight, about various aircraft that have come from the Isle of Wight, things that have been built on the Isle of Wight. As I say, we have...
Anything in particular?
Well, we've got things about the Saunders Road Princess, the big flying boat that was built at Cowes that unfortunately wasn't very successful. We've got lots of pictures of that. We've got what we call a shed in the middle of the hangar, which is devoted to a gentleman, a very kind gentleman by the name of Richard Holliman, who collected lots of aviation memorabilia and the fuselage of an aircraft that he kept in this shed at the bottom of his garden when he lived in Freshwater.
That sounds crazy.
He had this shed at the bottom of his garden in Freshwater.
With a hunk of plane in it.
With a fuselage, no wings, just the fuselage of this plane. And around it, he put lots and lots of memorabilia all about the, you know, aeroplanes and everything. But he only actually showed it to friends and family, you know. But then it came to an agreement with us. We've taken it over. We've now got a shed in the middle of this hangar, slightly bigger than his shed. We've put his memorabilia in there as the Richard Holliman collection. But the aircraft, as we say, one of our enterprising volunteers who knows a bit about computer games and things like that, has fitted a version of a virtual reality thing in there.
Oh, right.
Where during the season, people can come along, they can sit in next to one of our volunteers, and we'll operate the VR, and they can actually move the control column and everything, so it feels like they're actually flying.
Oh, so it's basically a flight simulator,
but a virtual reality.
Oh, wow.
And the joystick is connected to the rudder, which the rudder still works. Some people think that they could actually get the aeroplane to fly again. It's way past that. It would never do that. And it's been very, very popular, especially with pilots that have come in, and especially with older people and kids. I could give you an example, quick example. Not last season, but the season before, we had, I remember, two elderly ladies, must have been in their 70s or 80s, both decided to give it a go, and we couldn't get them off the machine. They were loving it, absolutely loving it.
Oh, that's a heartwarming story. So
it's been worth doing. The virtual reality, we've got also got a room that we call the ops room, which can be hired out to people to use as a meeting place. We can do film shows in there. We've got a little library in there. So all in all, we've got quite a bit there. We've got a hovercraft outside and another smaller aircraft. The hovercraft is in the process of being restored.
What's the story behind the hovercraft?
Well, it was a cushion craft CC-7, which was built by what Britain Norman was before they became Britain Norman.
Oh, right.
And it was cushion craft, and they built a series of hovercraft for people to try. Never became particularly successful. This particular one was used by the, I think it was the army.
Oh, wow. They tested it's got quite a bit of history to it.
And this one ended up, if I'm not mistaken, ended up at the Hovercraft Museum, but they didn't really need it, so it was passed on to us, and we're doing, slowly but surely, we're doing restoration work on it, and then we'll have that properly on show. We won't get it working. Someone thought we might do that at one point, but no. So we've got little jobs that are coming up, and I've got to be honest, the one big thing that we have got coming up, we're in the process of trying to get an aircraft that is actually sat out in New Zealand at the moment, which is a Spartan three-seater biplane, the only one that was flying up until recently. It's still out in New Zealand, but the owner of it, the present owner, wants it to come back to the Isle of Wight because that's where it was built, over at Cowes.
Oh, right.
And being that there's that connection and he knows about us, he said, I want that back here on the Isle of Wight. But obviously, you've got the financial side of things.
And the logistics, the shipping and everything else.
And the shipping, putting it somewhere to put it, and all that sort of thing. So, you know,
that's going to be a mammoth task.
It's going to take us a little while, but we are in the process of trying to get that done. So, you know.
Well, I wish you all the best with that one. That's going to be amazing.
That'll be quite a coup for us to have at the museum. But it's getting it from New Zealand to here.
Yeah,
that's the tricky part.
I'd imagine that's because it's literally the other side of the world, isn't it?
Knowing that the gentleman out there wants us to have it, you know, it's just we need someone like Sir Alan Sugar to come along and there you go.
Here's a couple of quid.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. Josh, have you got any more questions?
Is that an admission fee?
Up until this year, we've been saying entry by donations. So we said it's free entry, but if you're happy to give us a donation, we appreciate that. But as of this year, we will be starting a fee to get in, which will be at £5.
That's understandable. I mean, rising costs.
Yes.
I mean, you've got to pay gas, rent, yes. Electric, site rent, yeah. Everything else.
So exactly.
There's lots of costs that you might not think about that have got to be covered. So £5, I wouldn't say, is a lot of money, really.
As they say, by hook or by crook, we've survived so far. But we've got to that point where really we have to got to start charging.
That's fair enough. Yeah. Right, so let's cover the basics again, shall we? Where is the museum located?
Sandown Airport on the Isle of Wight.
Does the museum have a website and can it be found on social media?
Yes, we have a website and you can find it on Facebook as well.
So you just go to Facebook, type in White Aviation Museum and all the details
should
be presented with everything you need to know.
Most of the details, if there's some of the details, it might just point you back to the website.
But it's all linked together.
It's all linked together.
Right, okay, fine, fair enough.
Yeah.
Just one last question. Here's the curveball. What's your favourite book?
My favourite book?
Yeah.
Does it have to be aviation related?
No, anything you want. Science fiction, fantasy, anything. Doesn't matter. What's your favourite book?
Oh, crikey. Cool, what a question to throw.
I know. It's good, isn't it?
My favourite book. Oh, crikey. I suppose anything that's been done by Tom Clancy.
Okay.
That's the sort of...
Spy, stealth, like James Bond-esque kind
of... Or anything military sort of... Along those sort of lines, right. I don't mind.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. I love that book.
Love the TV series. Didn't really get into the book, if you see what I mean.
No, that's right. I've even got a Hitchhiker's Guide tattoo on my elbow.
Oh, right, okay.
Josh, what's yours?
I don't really read much, but I've got a Hobbit book to... that I haven't got around to reading yet.
Oh, you're a Tolkien fan.
Right, okay.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Each to their own.
No. I've got nothing wrong with Lord of the Rings either myself. No. I think it's an amazing set of films and books. Right, so thank you very much for coming into the show, Colin. It's
no
been a
problem
pleasure
at all.
Talking with you. I hope you managed to get the plane sorted out from New Zealand. That is going to be a massive task.
Yep.
So I wish you all the best for that, and I wish you all the best for the rest of the season as well.
Please come down. Anybody listening, please come down and pay us a visit. We'd be more than happy for you to come down and have a look.
Well, if you want to come back on in the near future and give us an update about what you're doing,
okay.
I'm more than happy to have you back on the show and have a chat again.
That can't be no problem.
Ventures Radio, FM 104.6, broadcasting from the Riverside Centre in Newport, giving people the opportunity to broadcast no matter their age or ability. We make entertaining radio whilst offering affordable advertising for local businesses. Ventures Radio, ventusradio.com.